speaker. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I just want to let you know we are not live streaming this morning. We're having to go through the registration process with YouTube to do that. So we are recording it, but it will not be live streamed this morning, but it will be up on the internet a little bit later. I'm so glad to see each one of you here today. I missed you. I missed seeing you when we could not meet together. God has and will continue to carry us faithfully through this time. These flowers here in the front of the church, they've been placed here, given to us, to remember Anna Burkhart. The ice cream cones that are in the flower arrangement are there because Anna and Wilmer would take their grandchildren golfing and fishing, and then at the end of the day, when they're all wore out, they took them for ice cream. So remember the Burkhart family in your prayers over the next few weeks as they mourn Anna's loss. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that you have poured out on us through Jesus, your Son. Thank you for the freedom we receive from your goodness. Move your Spirit in our hearts this morning so we can worship you fully. I pray for the sick and the hurting. Bring healing to them. Wrap your arms around the lost. Bring them close to you so they will accept you as Lord and Savior. Be with the Burkhart family as they adjust to life without Anna. Just thank you for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This is National Children's Sunday, so the first three songs we're going to be singing this morning are children's songs. And during this time, if you did not drop your offerings in the plate on your way in, you may come forward and do so during these three songs. So the first one is Jesus Loves Me. And will you please stand and sing with us?
Jesus loves me. morning. Let us take this opportunity to pause and pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this glorious, beautiful day you've given us. Please let us remember that you are in control. You love us, you care for us, you provide for us, and you have provided a way for us. We thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to give us the example of how to honor, love, and serve you. And then he laid it all down for us, because that was the only way we can live with you forever. We thank you for all of that. And we just ask that you bless the offering today as we give back just a portion of what you have blessed us with. We ask for your blessing on the pastors and the pastor team as they serve and seek to make decisions to honor you and to honor and serve those here in the congregation. We thank you again for this time that we can come together and worship you corporately. We're not here to make a statement. We are here to worship and serve and love you. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Oh,
details the beautiful story of God's plan for us to be his children. And in verse 2, it talks about how he chose me while I was in my mother's womb, and that he, God, has called me by name, and that I am a part of his family, and that his blood flows in my veins also. By choosing to accept that Jesus died for my sin and rose on the third day, I can boldly declare and sing that I am no longer a slave to fear, that I'm no longer a slave to Satan, but that I am a child of God. So will you please sing this song with us?
Close to his side.
am, the great I am, and that you are there for us each every day, each and every day, no matter what our circumstances and situations are that we're going through. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be near Tony this morning as he shares the word that you have laid on his heart with us. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to thank the worship teams for all the work they have been doing. I'd like to thank the video and sound crew for all the hard work they have been putting in. I just want to say thank you to Dwayne and Sheldon for the extra time they have been putting in as well. And thank you to Larry and Brian and Carl as we navigate these waters. I appreciate everything that they have been putting into this and the extra time that they have been giving. I appreciate your prayers for me and my family this week as I prepared this message. Today is National Children's Day, and like any other Sunday that I preach, I am going to have a children's message, but I'm going to let you guys stay where you're at. Sometime when life is a little more normal, I will have an extra special children's Sunday for you guys. So I'm going to start by reading John 15, 1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. See, Jesus is teaching his disciples and those around him that they need to stay connected to him. They need to grow stronger and closer to him. So, this light represents me. Not exactly, because I don't exactly look like that. At least I hope not. When I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Savior, I became plugged in to God. Just like that light turns on when I plug it in, I became a light to the world, to this dark world around us. But the problem is this cord on this light is very short. And if I go very far, it'll come unplugged. Mark 15:15 says, Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. That means we're supposed to go and tell everyone about Jesus and spread the light that is in us. See, I have an idea. Maybe we can reach a little farther. I can get my extension cord out. And I can probably reach most of the way to the back of the church if I uncoil this thing. It's pretty long. And we can reach pretty far yet. See, we can just keep pulling it off and we can reach farther and farther. But eventually, it will become unplugged because we'll run out of cord. Because it says that we're supposed to go into all of the earth. And all of the earth is a little farther than the back of the church. So maybe being plugged into an outlet is not exactly the best example. So I do have another one. Anybody know what that is? An old car battery. that's been sitting in my barn for quite a while. It gives power to your car, so when you turn the key, it starts. Or if you have a really new car, you push the button and it starts. It also turns the lights on when it's dark out and you open the doors. You get that little bit of light so you can see. I have a smaller battery here. It goes into my flashlight that I take hunting. When it's dark and I'm walking around in the woods, I have light to see by. And no, it's not a very big flashlight for in the dark, but I have pretty good night vision, so I don't need a very big flashlight. The Holy Spirit is like that battery. It's giving me power when I'm walking around. I can shine my light wherever I want to go or wherever God leads me. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power of God in us. But unlike a battery, the Holy Spirit doesn't need a recharge. Because it's God's power. But I can still become disconnected from God, even though I have the Holy Spirit in me. So I need to stay connected. We need to stay connected to let our light of Jesus shine to this lost world that is around us. You can do a lot of things to stay connected to God. You can sing songs like we just did. You can read or listen to the Bible. Take time to sit and listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That's a tough one because my mind just keeps going and it's difficult to stop that. You can pray to God and talk to Him. And these are just a couple ways to stay connected. So you guys have been good listeners. And may God bless you on Children's Day. When you leave today, there will be a snack out back here for you. If your parents say you can have it. And again, some Sunday, there'll be a special Children's Sunday. So since this is Children's Sunday, what can we as adults learn, and what can we apply to our lives, whether we have children or not? Because at one point we were all children, so what can we remember from our childhood? So I'm going to start with two passages of Scripture that describe the same event from different angles, and then get into some questions that I've had from these verses. So the first will be Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Then children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Leave the children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After placing his hands on them, he went on from there. Luke 18, 15 to 17 is the second set of scripture. People were bringing infants to him so he might touch them, but when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus, however, invited them, "Let the little children come to me, and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." These two short passages have small differences, and that's due to writing style. One says infants, while the other says children. We see little differences in other places in these verses. These are not contradictions. They're just different writing styles from different witnesses. Jesus is speaking to the crowd that is made up of his disciples and people from the area. The people wanted to bring their children to be blessed and prayed for by Jesus. But the disciples determined that Jesus was way too busy to be bothered by these children, and they began to rebuke them. Rebuke means to sharply disapprove or criticize someone or group. So they were definitely not being very nice. They were yelling at them. See, I read the next part in Scripture where Jesus is saying, "Leave the children alone and do not try to keep them from me." Every time I read that, I hear him just raise his voice at his disciples because he's getting frustrated at them. Maybe that didn't happen, but that's how I read it. We need to make sure that we are not the disciples in this set of verses. See, if we're keeping the children or those who have a childlike faith from coming to Jesus, there is a problem. And that problem is stated a little bit earlier in Matthew 18, verse 6. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone, if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck, and he would be drowned in the depths of the sea." Whew! Is that ever a strong warning? We have to be careful not to keep God's children from him. Not just little children. People who are young in the faith, or anyone. The next couple verses that I read, they mesh together. "The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, and truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And then you add in Matthew 18:6, which I had just read. These verses have always kind of been a question to me. What do they mean? How do we receive the kingdom like a child? And a couple other questions that I have. So I'm going to try to answer the questions that I had and tie all these verses together, and I hope you learn from this. So the first one is, who are the little ones and how am I keeping them from Jesus? When we keep anyone from moving closer to Jesus, whether they're children, adults, young in the faith, or anyone, like I said earlier, if we are influencing others away from Christ by the way we live, we are keeping God's children from him. You don't dress the same as we do. You don't sound or look like us. You need to be more mature in your faith. Is there sin in my life that's keeping someone from Christ? Are you too young? Traditions get in the way and push people away from God. These are just a few things in a long list that keep God's children from coming to him. So we need to be very aware of what we do. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I'm going to read Matthew 18, 1 to 5. Apparently, I don't have a slide for that one. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a child and had him stand among them. 'Truly, I tell you,' he said, 'unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. Did that help a little bit? The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these? Jesus is not saying we need to act like children. He is saying we need to be humble like children, knowing that we fully depend on God. Just like children fully depend on their parents for everything. The same thing applies for us. We need to be completely dependent on God every day for everything. If you have money, it's not yours, it's God's. If you have a house, it's God's. Giving all credit to God and taking none for yourself. Luke 18, 9 to 14. And this passage is right before Jesus blesses the children. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Greedy, unrighteous, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector was standing far off and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector knew he was a sinner. He wouldn't even look towards heaven. He cried out to God for mercy. The Pharisee boasted how much better he was than other people. We need to know and remember how much each one of us has been forgiven of. We need to remember this and not judge others. This keeps us humble. I'm not better than anyone else. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. There's a humbleness of realizing where you came from, the sin you were stuck in. Do not judge others. Stay humble. How do we receive the kingdom of God like a child? Well, a child is weak and fully dependent on their parents, right? So we need to be fully dependent on God. How many times have I said that already? At least three. So we need to be fully dependent on God. There are times when we try to do it all by ourselves. And we don't let room for God to work. That is, until we get burnt out or worn down. And then finally we ask God for help. Where children are different, they will quickly go and ask for help. Mom, Dad, I need help with this. My normal response is, did you try it for yourself first? There is merit to trying and learning and doing things yourself. It builds confidence and strength. I may need to get up and see if they're struggling, even though they're trying it themselves, and guide them, letting them do the work even if they fail sometimes, instead of me just doing the task for them. We have that saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. When we go to God quickly for help, He walks alongside of us, teaching us. We may fail and things may turn out how we don't think they should. But when God is involved in our daily lives, we can learn we can be strengthened in a way that builds us up and brings us closer to God. A child sees the world with awe and wonder. When we see a butterfly, or a pretty flower, colorful leaves falling from the trees, you can see the joy in their faces. Kids will let you know when something sparks their imagination or catches their eye. They'll be like, wow, look at that. Or you're just going to hear that inhale sound because they do not have words to describe what they're feeling. But you can see that expression on their face. And that's how we need to look at this world and look at God, with an awe, with a joy that is childlike. See, when I go and sit in my tree stand for hours, I look at the trees and the leaves, and I notice the veins in the leaves and think, wow, how amazing is God for designing all of this. Then a flock of geese fly overhead in the V formation. And I'm thinking, how do they know where they're going? How do they know that flying in a V is more efficient for flying long distances than flying in any other pattern? God, you're so amazing. Just to marvel in awe at what God has done. So take some time to see the small things in life like a child, like watching a caterpillar. See how intently they're looking at that picture? Looking at that caterpillar. So enjoy what God has set before you and receive like a child. When a child gives you a hug, they run to you and wrap their arms around you and lay their head against your chest with a love that is pure and sweet. See, we are to honor God in reverence. I'm going to read Revelation 5, 8 to 10. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. You were worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God by your blood. For every tribe and language and people and nation, you made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are due all honor and glory and praise. We are to bow at their feet, just like the elders did in this set of verses. But I think we get hung up on this, and we do not experience the full love of the Father, because we don't go to him like a child, his child, which we are, and give him a hug and lay our hands on his chest and say, I love you, Dad. Show that childlike love. We miss out on an intimate love with the Father, a closeness that is like no other. So I'm going to challenge you. Sometime today, I want you to give God a hug. And it may seem strange, but do it anyway. You may do it now if you want to, but I'm not going to force you to. But I want you to seriously take your arms and wrap them around God and lay your head on his chest and receive the love that he has for you. Tell him that you love him and just feel his arms wrap around you. Let it sink into your heart and soul. I challenge you to do it. In 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called his children, and we are his children. God poured out so much love on each one of us that we can't even imagine. Go to God in honor and reverence. Give him a hug and tell him you love him. Receive his love for you like a child does from their parents. So in closing, do not hinder people from coming to God. Be dependent fully on God like a child is to their parents. Keep or find again that awe and wonder for God. Go quickly to God every day and give him a hug and tell him you love him. Be a child of God and enter his kingdom with love and honor and praise. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are your children. Help us to regain these lost childlike things in our lives. Help us to see you in a new way today. Help us to know without a doubt that we are loved by you and are your children. Bless all the children today, and I pray that they will come to you and know you as their Savior and Lord and Father who loves them. Watch over and protect us. Heal the sick, and comfort those who mourn. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team to come forward.
A place for me, I'm a child.
As a reminder, next Sunday evening, there's going to be a time to come and meet the Holy Spirit. That's next Sunday at 6:30. Come out and see how God is moving. See what God is doing. I'll have the benediction, and then I have some instructions for you after that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither the height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go and receive His love as His children. God bless you. Go in peace. So, you may visit in your benches this morning. We are opening the back doors down to the mailboxes. We're requesting that the main basement still be closed. If you're uncomfortable visiting here in the building, I'm going to dismiss you now. We're going to give you a few minutes to go outside. If you feel more comfortable doing that, we want to have that opportunity for you. Please maintain your distances. And we as the leadership team are meeting this week to see if and when more changes are going to be happening. It's a fluid thing. It changes week to week. So God bless you. Have a great day.